Well, because he has the Silmaril, which he binds onto his brow, he's able to pierce the shadowy seas that the Valar have set up to keep the elves from sailing back to Valinor. And he goes back in front of the powers, and he begs, on behalf of both elves and men, for help from the Valar. And the Valar agree. But because he broke the rule that you're not allowed to sail in the West, he can't go back to Middle-earth. And instead, they put his ship with the Silmaril and him up into the heavens to sail and guard the heavens and so forth. That's where the evening star comes from. It's the light of the Silmaril, and it's a sign that the Valar are coming to rescue the elves. And they do. They defeat Morgoth, they throw him out of the world past the uttermost doors of night, though inexplicably they decide to leave Sauron alone because he seems to have repented. This is this mistake that everyone makes with Sauron. So, oh, he's become good now. Never works, doesn't happen, don't trust Sauron. Anyway, everything is good now in the sense that the forces of darkness have been vanquished and there's a new hope and everything else. And for the men who had fought on the side of the elves, there's a special reward. They get an island off the coast of Middle-earth, a beautiful, large island where everything grows and people live a long time, called Numenor, the Land of the Gift. And the whole second age of Middle-earth is tied up around Numenor. Now, you've heard that name before, and if you read The Lord of the Rings, you know Numenor, because that's where the men in The Lord of the Rings, the city of Gondor and Aragorn, are all descended from the Numenoreans. Numenor, the idea of this land of the gift, was something that Tolkien didn't invent until fairly late in his composition process. He'd actually not only written all his Legends of the First Age, but he'd started some of The Lord of the Rings when he came up with the idea of Numenor. But Numenor was really powerful to Tolkien because of this dream that he continually had, where a great green wave came up and swallowed the land. This is what he called his Atlantis dream. And so you can see pretty much what's going to happen to Numenor. In fact, the section of the Silmarillion that talks about Numenor is called the Akalabeth, and it means the downfall or the destruction of Numenor. Numenor was another way for Tolkien to investigate his idea of a fall from grace, of something that was paradisical and happy and how it was destroyed. And it was in working out his Numenor stories that Tolkien figured out that for him, the great sin was not going to be the sin of pride so much, which is generally how medieval theologians interpreted the Garden of Eden, though some said it was the sin of gluttony because Eve eats an apple. Most said it was the sin of pride. But the sin that Tolkien was most worried about was longing for eternal life. And I guess if you're a theologian, you can try to connect that to the sin of pride. But what he meant was the desire to have a life beyond what you regularly had in the real world, not being willing to try to go to heaven to see what heaven was like, but to try to have eternal life in the real world. The elves already have that. His eternal elves already have that. And I think Tolkien desired that in some ways very much. He tried to be a good Christian and say that he didn't desire it. He tried to make himself not desire it, but he did desire eternal life.